Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 2017 second quarter results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Hélène Barry. Please go ahead, Ms. Barry.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. Presenting this morning are Henry Buckley, President and CEO, and Éric Bussières, CFO. Following their comments, we will open the call for questions. Joining us today for your questions are Steve Arn, President and COO of FinishMaster USA, Gary O'Connor, President and COO of Automotive Canada, Grant Winden, the new President and COO of Automotive Canada, and also joining us as a guest, Peter Sefton, CEO and President of the Parts Alliance. Please note that all documents referred to in today's conference call, including this webcast presentation, can be found on our website, uniselect.com, in the Investors section. As noted on slide two, I would like to remind you that a caution regarding forward-looking statements applies to our presentation and comments. All amounts are expressed in US dollars, except as otherwise specified. With that, let me turn the presentation over to Henry.
Great. Thanks, Hélène. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I'd like to invite you to look at slide three of the document posted on our website for this call. In the second quarter of 2017, Uni-Select delivered very good overall results and made solid progress on its strategic initiatives. Total sales reached $340.3 million, up 5.1% from last year, with FinishMaster USA up 6.6%. The Canadian Automotive Group was up 2.8%, but up 7.2% normalized for foreign exchange translation. EBITDA was at $29.5 million, or 8.7%. However, EBITDA adjusted for the cost of the Parts Alliance transaction was $32.5 million, or 9.5% of sales. Net earnings were $13.7 million, or 33 cents a share, and adjusted for the same adjustment, earnings were $16.6 million, or 39 cents a share. Free cash flow came in at $17.9 million in Q2, and we declared a dividend of 9.25 cents. On the 1st of June, we announced the acquisition of the Parts Alliance, a UK leader in the distribution of aftermarket parts, for a transaction value of approximately 205 million British pounds on a cash-free, debt-free basis. We expect this transaction to close in August 2017. We also appointed Brent Windham to the position of President and Chief Operating Officer of the Canadian Automotive Group and the retirement of Gary O'Connor at the end of the year. Please turn to slide four. Now, turning to FinishMaster USA, sales in the second quarter were up 6.6%, driven by business acquisitions, with an EBITDA margin of 11.5%. The impact of the product line changeover in the quarter was approximately 8% on sales, and excluding that changeover, organic growth in the quarter was near flat at negative 0.6%. As discussed previously, the product line changeover will continue to impact organic growth for the balance of the year. We estimate an impact of approximately 4.6% in Q3 and 2% in Q4. Our strategy remains the same as we look to expand geographic coverage and build density in key markets. In the quarter, we opened a greenfield facility in Nashville, Tennessee. Our focus on successfully integrating all of our acquisitions continues to deliver results. In the quarter, we integrated seven locations as planned. We are highly focused on driving organic growth in all our customer segments. In vehicle refinish, we have multiple initiatives focused on the traditional and MSO customer segments. In addition, we are seeing some strong early signs of success with our new industrial coatings initiative. Turning to page five and the Canadian Automotive Group, we achieved a very strong sales and earnings quarter with organic sales growth of 6.2% and an EBITDA margin of 8.6% of sales. Organic sales were positive with our independent driver customers as well as both our bumper-to-bumper and FinishMaster corporate stores. With over 90% of our sales being to commercial customers, we have always been and continue to be designed to service this customer segment. We are very pleased to have Brent Windham rejoin Uni-Select as President and COO of our Canadian Automotive Group. He has over 30 years' experience in the North American aftermarket, both in U.S. and Canada. including 12 years at Uniselect. It's also my pleasure personally and on behalf of our company to recognize and thank Gary O'Connor for all of his contributions over the past 12 years with Uniselect, and quite frankly, the previous 20 or more years supporting our growth as a key supplier. Gary will stay on for the balance of the year to support Brent, our team, and our customers to ensure a smooth transition. The Canadian team continues to be focused on building a foundation for the long term. The rollout of our bumper-to-bumper brand to our independent customers and our corporate stores continues on track. Our deployment of the corporate store point-of-sale system, PartsWatch, continues on schedule as well. We also opened a greenfield bumper-to-bumper store in London, Ontario market, which was not being covered by an existing independent jobber. We also acquired KC Distributing, an auto parts distributor based in Owen Sound, Ontario. Now turning to page 6. We could not be more pleased to be adding a new growth pillar to Uniselect with the impending acquisition of the Parts Alliance. The UK is the fourth largest market in Europe at 4.1 billion UK pounds. It is a fragmented market with an aging car park, increasing miles driven, and yearly vehicle mandatory inspections. The Parts Alliance is the number two player in the market and one of only two national players. With a 7% market share in a fragmented market, it provides a significant runway for profitable growth. Also, just like Uniselect, they are focused on the commercial customer, resulting in over 95% of their sales. They have a track record of acquiring and successfully integrating acquisitions, coupled with a track record of driving organic growth. This past quarter was mid-singles organic growth for Parts Alliance. They are a people and customer-driven culture, which aligns perfectly with Uniselect. We expect to close this transaction in August. In addition, we secured the key team members, and they are highly engaged and excited to grow together with Uniselect. Now, over to you, Eric, for the financial review.
Thank you, Henry. Good morning, everyone. And I invite you to turn to slide 8. Consolidated sales for the second quarter reached $340 million, an increase of 5.1% against second quarter 2016. This increase is driven from recent business acquisition, as well as strong organic growth in Canada. Although the consolidated organic growth was impacted by the product line changeover in the U.S., excluding this element, the combined organic growth would have been 2.1%. Sales from FinishMaster USA reached almost $210 million, up 6.6% against prior year's second quarter, mainly from business acquisitions. The Canadian automotive segment sales rose to almost $131 million, an increase of 2.8%, despite a foreign exchange translation headwind of approximately $5.7 million. When normalized for the foreign exchange translation impact, the total growth would have been 7.2%. The strong sales in Canada are partly attributable to sales initiatives and, to a lesser extent, the spring maintenance activity that partly shifted from Q1 to Q2. Also, I would like to take this opportunity to remind everyone that our business is somewhat seasonal and that Q1 and Q4 tends to be our softer quarters, and Q2 and Q3 tends to be our strongest. Turning to slide 9. Our second quarter consolidated adjusted EBITDA was $32.5 million compared to $29.7 million last year, an increase of over 9.1% driven by strong contribution from our Canadian operations. The adjusted EBITDA margin for the quarter was 9.5% compared to 9.2% last year. Please turn now to slide 10. Adjusted earnings for the second quarter were $16.6 million or 39 cents a share compared to 40 cents a share for the same period last year. The 1 cent difference is due to increased intangible assets amortization and increased financial costs related to the acquisition. The blended tax rate for Q2 was 31.5% compared to 31.2% for the same quarter last year. The marginal increase is due to a different geographic pre-tax earning mix. During the quarter, we incurred approximately $2.9 million in transaction expense linked to the Parts Alliance acquisition. The total transaction cost, excluding the FX option protection we purchased, is estimated to be approximately $9.5 million. Of that amount, we expect to capitalize approximately $2.5 million linked to the refinancing costs. If the transaction would have closed on July 25th, the net option cost would have been approximately $2 million. Moving to slide 11. As mentioned previously, sales are up 5.1% compared to the same quarter last year. mainly in relation to recent acquisitions, representing an increase of 10.4%. As expected, organic growth was mainly impacted by the product line changeover at FinishMaster. Adjusted EBITDA rose by 9.1% from good buying conditions during the quarter. Please turn now to slide 12. After 6 months, our sales are up 8.5% compared to the first 6 months of last year. Adjusted EBITDA is up 8.1%. During the first 6 months of 2017, we acquired 6 businesses and opened 4 greenfield stores and integrated 10 locations. Excluding the product line changeover and the customer loss in Canada, consolidated year-to-date organic growth would have been approximately 2.1%, while the net of those two elements, year-to-date organic growth, is negative 4.2%. Please turn now to slide 13. For the second quarter, consolidated cash flow from operating activities totaled $22.8 million, down $14.4 million compared to Q2 2016, mainly due to payment of income tax and the purchase of a foreign exchange option in anticipation of the acquisition of Parts Alliance, as presented in our financial statements. During the quarter, our operations generated $7.8 million of net cash. Our free cash flow amounted to $17.9 million, mainly through operations. As it relates to the evolution of our working capital during the quarter, you will note a certain increase in our account receivables this quarter compared to last quarter, and this is entirely linked to the strong performance in the sales during the second quarter. By adding certain suppliers to our supply chain financing agreement and benefiting from extended terms with which we managed to improve our overall cash position, the cash cycle collection compared to the first quarter was reduced by 2 days. Working capital will remain a focus of ours, and we'll continue to seek further optimization opportunity over the coming quarters. Please turn now to slide 14. At the end of June, outstanding total net debt stood at $189 million from $199 million at the end of last quarter, a reduction of $10 million, mainly attributable to internally generated cash for a leverage ratio of funded debt to adjusted EBITDA of 1.69 times. In anticipation of our acquisition of Parts Alliance, we completed on July 25th the syndication process of our amended restated credit agreement with a consortium of banks by securing $525 million credit facility and a $100 million term loan. The Parts Alliance acquisition is expected to close in August, and assuming we would have closed the transaction at the end of the second quarter, the funded debt to adjusted pro forma EBITDA would have been approximately 3.35 times. Following the completion of the acquisition, we expect to have approximately $170 million of credit available to us. To summarize the quarter, I invite you to turn to slide 15. Strong performance by the Canadian operations during the quarter, and after 6 months of 2017, the Canadian operation is generating EBITDA margin consistent with last year. The consolidated adjusted EBITDA margin for the quarter was 9.5%, an improvement of 30 basis points compared to the same quarter last year. Our second quarter cash flow from operating activities was sound despite a higher income tax paid and the purchase of the foreign exchange currency option. Adjusted earnings amounted to $16.6 million, or 39 cents a share. Quarterly dividend payment of 9.25 cents per share has been declared. We are in a healthy financial position to complete the acquisition of Parts Alliance, and we foresee and continue to foster some interesting growth opportunity. This completes my financial review. Henry, back to you.
Great. Thanks, Eric. Okay, Paul, we'd like to please open the call for questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad. And if at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. So please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. We thank you for your patience. The first question is from Leon Gazarian. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Leon.
Good morning, Leon.
A quick question on the Canadian organic growth. I mean, that's obviously a very strong number at 6.2%. You do mention that, both the corporate stores as well as the distribution centers contributed to that. Can you just give us a bit more color as to maybe the split there and then kind of maybe some underlying reasons behind that growth?
Yeah, and we don't share segmented by, you know, stores and independent jobbers, but, you know, quite frankly, they're roughly equal all across the board for us, you know, in the quarter. You know, we're very pleased with the progress we're making with the corporate stores, both bumper to bumper and Finishmaster, delivering great results. And, you know, equally, we're just as happy with independent jobbers. They had a very, very good quarter, and they seem to be continuing into July. So we're having a very good second quarter. We're having a strong July, and, you know, we've got good momentum, and that's where we are.
Okay, and then appreciate that. I know you don't give out more segmented information than that, but looking towards the profitability in the quarter as well for Canada specifically, that was a, you know, pretty good number as well, very strong number at you know, north of 8%. So I'm just trying to see, is that related primarily to some of the initiatives that you've implemented, or is that really because you know, you're pushing more corporate stores out and thus the margin profile is a bit different there? So I'm just trying to understand the sustainability of this margin going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. At the end of the day, it's for us, it's related to volume, right? We've got a very efficient model, both segments. Our corporate stores, both Bumper to Bumper and Finishmaster, are producing strong EBITDA results. Our independent jobber segment, that's something that's historical for us. We've always had, you know, a very good foundation there. So we're continuing to see that that move forward. So it's really, for us, it's about volume, you know, making sure that, you know, we continue to drive the growth. The EBITDA results will flow from that.
Okay, and if I just may, on one question on the U.S. side, I mean, organic growth, obviously, as you mentioned, was close to flat, slightly negative there. Can you comment a little bit about the industry as a whole, as you're seeing on the paint side? Like, what is the industry growing at right now, and whether or not you are, you know, seeing, I guess, more competition, or just trying to get a sense of on the market share. Are you losing some? Is the market growing faster?
Yeah, I think for us overall, you know, the market in the first quarter and second quarter has been softer than you know, we would like, quite frankly. I think that's indicative of the environment. You know, we're clearly the only public company in our segment in terms of public companies publishing. But if you look at the manufacturing side of the business, the manufacturers are all, you know, it's coming off a second quarter that was softer than they expected as well. So I think we've got some sort of market softness, which is quite frankly being offset by our growth initiatives. So there's growth initiatives that we have in both the traditional customer segment for vehicle refinish, the MSO segment for vehicle refinish. So we've got, you know, nothing's changed for us there. We've got our sort of head down and executing on those fronts. And as we've talked about, we've got the incremental front for us, which is in early stages with the industrial initiative. So very, very happy with where that's going. So the backdrop isn't as robust in terms of the sort of economic base. But we don't see that sort of lasting longer term. I think all of our manufacturers are looking for a much better third and fourth quarter. I think that's the outlook from them as sort of a proxy for the state of the industry. But, you know, we certainly see the same as well.
Okay, and one final one for me before I turn it over, if I may, just on the transaction expenses for Parts Alliance, you had about $2.9 million charge in the quarter. I'm just wondering what we should expect going forward, for example, in Q3, and maybe if it spills over into Q4.
No, it should all be incurred in Q3 for the vast majority, Leon. As I mentioned in my remark, the total estimated transaction cost, excluding the option cost, is $9.5 million. Of that $9.5 million, you should assume about $2.5 million will be capitalized. These are linked to the financial cost of refinancing and all that. And then if we were to close the transaction on the 25th of July, the option that we purchased on June 1st, those options, the net cost linked to those options would have been $2 million.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, in Q3 you'll incur an additional, $6 million or so in expenses?
Yeah. The ballpark, yeah. I mean, we've incurred three to date. You got the total cost, excluding the options, $9.5 million. So add the $2 million of the options at that point, that would be $11.5 million. You got to capitalize $2.5 million of that $11.5 million, and the rest is all expense, of which $2.9 million has been expensed in Q2.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful.
Hey, thanks, Leon.
Thank you. The next question is from Benoit Poirier. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering if you could provide more color on the softness you see on the paint side, whether it's related to the weather or is it related to something else, gentlemen?
Good morning, Benoit. Steve, do you want to talk to this one?
Yeah, hey, good morning, Benoit. You know, most of the manufacturers, including us, have had a soft first half of the year, and a lot of it is related to the weather. In several of the areas, we didn't get any winter, and that's not good. Most of our shops were in those areas were slow, but we see very positive signs. And we're very optimistic about the second half of the year.
I hate using the excuse
I
weather.
I don't like to use the weather.
Everybody seems to be having to deal with that this year, sadly, but that is what it is.
Okay, perfect. And when we look at the industrial paints, you have some comments about early sign of success. So could you share with us how, if you could quantify the incremental contribution on revenues and EBITDA, and how would you measure success for industrial paint?
Okay, so I'll answer that two ways. First of all, we're not going to segment industrial out of the paint business. But secondly, you know, we measure every single day inside our business, so that's something that's a core initiative for us. I think we'll share with you, we have 7 pilot sites. We have 18 locations that are daily involved in industrial paint sales today. But we have consciously decided to walk before we run. And what that means for us is we've got a number of customers who have signed up today, but we're not willing to sort of step up and deliver their business until we are fully prepared to execute on it extremely well. So the last thing you want to do is run around and sell a bunch of customers that we can deliver for them and then fall down at the branch level. So we're putting the foundation in each one of these branches, making sure they have the right technical support, they have the right inventory on the ground to support the customers as we turn those customers on. So the early signs for us really means we've got a whole host of customers today that are excited about joining the Uni-Select family in terms of sharing business with us. That's the part we're very enthusiastic about, but we're not in any rush. We're going to make sure we do it right, turn them on effectively over the coming months. So that's something that we're always committed to because we want a long-term sustainable business here, and we're happy with that progress. So those are the early signs. We clearly you measure it I wouldn't say daily right now, but certainly I guess we do measure it daily. Yeah,
we do.
Yeah. I don't measure it daily. Steve measures it daily, and we certainly look at it every week. So very happy with the early progress.
Okay. And coming back on the paint, could you comment about the opportunity to kind of implement the paint side in the Parts Alliance going forward?
That's something that we have on the horizon for us to look at as opportunities. Our first focus and priority right now is to close the transaction, which we're clearly very close to, as you can see, by August. We spent a lot of time over there with the team members, with Peter, who's joining us here today. I think the early signs from that business have been extremely solid. Very happy to be part of the Uni-Select team. So that's kind of our first priority, and making sure that we help accelerate their existing strategies, existing business. And, we're going to look out to the horizon to see what makes sense in the refinish business over there. We think there's something there for us, but until we've sort of determined a plan, then, we're going to hold steady on the course and execute on our existing plans.
Okay. And last one for me. Could you, Eric, if you could provide some color about the impact of the Canadian dollar on the debt level and also the potential impact you might see on the pricing of parts and paint?
So in terms of debt level, we have a very small amount. I think as of the end of June, we had less than $30 million borrowed in Canadian dollars. The balance was the balance was all in the U.S. dollars. As it relates to the Parts Alliance acquisition, the way you should think about it is we're going to borrow about 70 million pounds directly from the banks, and the balance will be borrowed in U.S. dollar equivalent to fund the purchase.
Okay, and when you look at the impact on the pricing of parts and paint, Eric, anything we should expect?
Sorry, but what's that again? When you look at?
With respect, when you look at the pricing, any implication we might be expecting going forward, given the movement in the currency on the paint side?
I'll tell you what, the reality is in Canada, the manufacturers have not pushed further price increases a year and a half ago, or it's not even 2 years ago. And if you look at that time, the Canadian U.S. dollar was around 80 cents a dollar. We're back to those levels right now, so the reality is that manufacturers have not pushed the prices up when the Canadian dollar further depreciated. So we don't see why that pricing mechanism would change at this current point in time. And in the U.S., it's, I think PPG, Axalta, they're all manufacturing the very, very mass majority, 90% of it out of the U.S. And the two foreign manufacturers are producing most of it also in the U.S.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a U.S. dollar cost to U.S. dollar operations and revenue.
Yeah, so to be clear, we have not seen price inflation in Canada since December 2015. So these guys did not, they absorbed the exchange rate impact over the last 2 years. They're very stable. They want to keep the market stable. So we're not seeing price inflation. Therefore, we don't expect to see price deflation. In the U.S., though, I will add, though, that there is price increases that come every single year. And now we're coming into that season. So we're expecting, and it's already been announced, price increases with our major paint manufacturers coming here in sort of August is kind of the start point for that. So we'll see some price inflation coming in the back half of the year.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for the caller, guys.
Thank you.
The next question is from Elizabeth Johnston. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Just if we could go back to the Canada segment, automotive and EBITDA margin, can you give us a sense of the magnitude of the offset that you had on that margin from the ongoing investments in corporate stores?
No, we don't give that detailed of information, Elizabeth, as you know. All I can tell you, there hasn't been a major shift in our investment pattern from Q1 to Q2. So that would not be the explanation of why the margins went up. As was explained by Henry earlier on, a lot of it is driven out of the volume of the business. And as we disclose, some of the compensation aspect were a little bit lower than the prior year.
Our, just to be clear, our foundation build in terms of rolling out Parts Watch and rolling out the rebranding and the launch of Bumper to Bumper is on track. We're kind of rolling that sort of consistently through the year. So there's not going to be major spikes in one quarter or the other. So we're very, very happy with the progress on that.
And do you expect to be finished with those initiatives by the end of 2017?
Not all. I mean, I think we'll get through the majority of it through the end of the year. But, you know, as we keep opening and adding stores, there'll be more that roll into the sort of first quarter. So I'd expect some in the first quarter of next year. Because, you know, we're going to do it at a pace where we can do it sensibly, digest them, stand them up. And that's exactly what we've done. So we've adjusted the schedule a little bit, absorbed learnings from each one we do, accelerated some and decelerated others. So, again, happy with the progress, but it'll roll over into the first quarter.
And can you give us a sense, in terms of corporate stores, what percentage approximately have had the branding completed at this point?
Well, there's two. Branding is one part of it. There's probably, Gary, you have the number on that? We have about 29 of the stores
on Parts Watch
now. So 29 out of, call it...
So there's 21 branches that have been completely converted.
So that means IT and branding
IT,
and everything.
Interior and exterior, and 32 exteriors and 11 were completed interior.
Yeah.
So it's a combination.
So we're taking them in different stages. If you think about it, just the Parts Watch implementation is not necessarily directly aligned with the exteriors and the interiors. So we're taking them at a sort of measured pace to make sure we don't disrupt any business in the interim. So Parts Watch are about 29 down and got today's store count in the mid-50s, so we still got some room to go, and a lot of them are accelerating through the balance of the year.
Okay, great. And just one more, if I may, on EBITDA margin in Canada again. Now, you highlighted in the MD&A the better gross margin as a result of higher margin to installers. Is there anything related in that to the loss of the independent member you disclosed in Q1?
No.
I mean, as our ratio changes a little bit with corporate stores to independent jobbers, we're having store out margins, which are, at a higher level than what the independent jobber margins are. So over time, I think you'll see those creep up, but equally so do our headcounts and everything else. So it's, that's a balance. The independent jobber, I think Eric mentioned it, had we retained that business, which, we're not unhappy about, by the way. So as I think I've shared with most of you, we'd be sort of circa 10% growth on organic. So very significant organic growth. Very happy with the results.
And further to your point on organic growth, are you seeing this across Canada, or is there a particular region where you're seeing a strong growth?
No, it's across Canada. You know, we're seeing it across all the regions in Canada, across our segments, independent jobbers in both Bumper to Bumper and Finished Master stores. We're very happy with the progress, you know.
Okay, great. And just going back to the industrial paint opportunity, you mentioned the 7 pilot sites. Are those pilot sites still working towards selling paint, or are they currently selling the industrial paint?
So to be clear, these are what we call hubs. So the 7 are actually hubs for inventory. Then we'll have, you know, lower levels of inventory in the 18 spokes total and the remaining spokes of it. So I think we're just beginning, Steve.
Yeah, they're not all up and operational, really in 2 markets. The Denver market is where we started, and now we're into the Great Lakes area. And as Henry said before, is we are being very methodical on rolling these out, making sure that the service levels, the inventory, the technology, the support levels are all there before we move on to the next site. So as the year progresses, we'll be into more of these locations.
We're not in a hurry, by the way. So
okay.
I mean, we're taking this thing, you know, very consciously on a very measured pace. But you know, we remain probably even more optimistic now in terms of the longer term results, because the early signs are so good. But again, 1 market, 2 markets, and we're moving on from there. That'll likely accelerate as we get farther down the the implementation road.
Okay, great. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you. The next question is from Jonathan Lammers. Please go ahead.
Morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Henry, on industrial paint, at the stores that have been converted, can you speak to the investments that have been required there in terms of the additional sales staff that have needed to be hired? And are there any, can you tell if there's going to be any investment in IT needed at those stores?
Yeah, so Jonathan, what we explained to the market was that for the 8 hubs that we're putting together, 7, sorry, the overall capital investment is about $500,000 combined, and no more than that. We have added, and we will be adding. I mean, really, where are we investing? If you think about it, there's a little bit of investment on the storefront from a leasehold improvement standpoint. We're going to invest in resources, and we've done that, and we'll continue to do that as we grow the business. And obviously, we need to invest a little bit on inventory to be able to service the customers. So, and the inventory level is no different, really, than in the refinish business. So it's not a business that operates significantly differently from an inventory level perspective.
So we put the inventory in, you know, ahead of the sales a little bit. So you'll see a slight spike in the inventory. As we load that in, the leaseholds are minimal. It's really a process about the people. This whole business is about having the right team and the right people. And I couldn't actually be more excited. I've had a chance to meet the team, and they're actually chomping at the bit. We're having to slow them down, to be honest. I mean, they've got lots of opportunities in their pocket in terms of being able to grow the business. But that's where the investment is, making sure we hire those people. We're hiring them ahead of a curve right now. So if there's anything that would hit us on the expense side, it's actually the people cost, which we're totally fine with.
Right, and that would be included in the EBITDA margin guidance you've provided.
Yep.
But will the existing point of sale system do for the industrial paint?
Okay. Absolutely.
There's no further IT investment required for the industrial paint.
Okay.
We've got a very good IT platform and a very good IT team, quite frankly, that is very innovative and growing that business and helping the business grow.
Okay, great. And on the refinish paint, Henry, you mentioned there will be some price inflation in the second half. Can you speak to how price inflation was in the first half of the year?
See if you can do that one. I mean, clearly we didn't get much in the first half, but you know.
Yeah, we really didn't see anything in the first half. And traditionally, this is the time of the year when the paint companies announce where they're at, and we're on pace. The price increase is similar to what we experienced last year, and we expect it to last for the next few months.
Okay, and can you speak to the magnitude of price inflation that you're hearing from the suppliers?
It's similar to last year.
Yeah,
it is I think the best answer for that.
It's similar to last year. So, I mean, and then they quantify it around low singles. I mean, they don't go up, you know, 10%. The stuff is always, you know, sort of low singles.
I think it's been about 2% historically.
It's, you got to remember, there's two things. There's the gross and the net. I mean, we get the gross with some customers, so they may go out with 4%, but you get it with 50% of the business that goes through there. You may get down to a net number in that zone.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and on Canada, I understand that there has not been any price inflation since December 2015, but will the fluctuation in the Canadian dollar provide some near-term opportunities to capture some additional margin?
Not really, Jonathan. I don't really foresee that. As I said, the Canadian dollar right now is more or less the same level it was about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. So we don't expect any price pickup or price reduction on that side.
I mean,
the margin should remain pretty stable as it relates to a product itself.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's nice about seeing the Canadian go up is that, you know, we're at a lower tax rate in Canada on the earnings side, so it's helpful.
Right. And can you speak to the organic sales trends that you've seen in July?
I think we're carrying on not a similar pace. I mean, it's not over yet, but we'll see how the month end goes. It's always, you know, part of the way through the month, you can get excited, then people go on vacation for the last weekend of the month. It's always tough to forecast. But no, it's we've had good momentum through the quarter, and then into July, probably had more momentum in May and June. April was okay, but I think May and June was really good, and we're seeing a really good July. And, you know, we've got foot on the gas pedal right now on all fronts. And I would add that, you know, I couldn't be happier to have, you know, Brent back in the saddle. He's already digging in, already spending time with our customers, and he and Gary are out making sure we're highly customer-focused in the field. So I think that's going to be nothing but positive in terms of, you know, continuing the momentum we have.
Okay. And at the bumper-to-bumper stores that have been renovated, has there been a lift in sales that you can speak to?
I mean, I think one of the things I'll tell you is the bumper-to-bumper stores are doing really, really well. And as we looked across the country, you know, we had some historically that have always done really well. Bumper-to-bumpers sort of helped them along the way. I think there's other ones that we bought some that we would say that were not necessarily performing at a high level. Our work, and when I talk about our sales initiatives in Canada, for example, we've got a great corporate store team now, both in the East and the West. So where we had underperforming operations, you know, you go in, you rebrand, you put the new systems in place. Equally, we're also focused on the sales leadership and the product mix in each one of those sites. So this is very sort of hand-to-hand combat in each one of these markets. It's not a, you know, it isn't just sort of a wholesale, put the sign up and, you know, life's good again. It's a combination of all these things. So I think one of the most exciting things is that coupling with the bumper-to-bumper brand, the sort of relaunched sales and leadership team within the corporate store group is actually delivering those results on a day-to-day basis and turning around anything that was sort of less than up to our optimal performance standards. So I think we're seeing lifts, you know, from those at probably a higher rate, and we see, you know, good sort of static and single-digit growth from some of the others. So we have corporate stores that are up to sort of 7, 8, 9, 10%. We have others that are, you know, 4 or 5% that are a little bit more mature. Balance between the two.
Okay, that's good color. Thank you. And, Henry, you mentioned that the Parts Alliance UK business, that you've seen early signs from that are extremely positive. Can you speak about that a little bit more? I mean, has Parts Alliance added any branches over the 2 months since you announced the acquisition?
And not since we, I'll throw that to Peter into some stuff, but I'll tell you, Peter and I have spent a lot of time together over the last sort of 8 months, and I've had the chance to go out and see the business. Peter and I conducted town halls in two major locations with probably the top 200 or so team members in the company to launch the transaction, launch the new initiative. And, you know, when you do these things, you're always looking for signs of engagement, how do people feel about it. And I think the overarching feeling is this is great. Like, literally nothing is going to change, and we don't have to change jerseys. We don't have to, you know, conform to some other, you know, if they went to one of our other competitors where they're all standard brand, those things all, you know, sort of disrupt the business. Here in this case, you know, they didn't get sold to another private equity firm. They got sold to a strategic. And I think the feeling overall has been extremely well-founded in terms of the future for us. What do you think, Peter?
Yeah, just picking up on that point, you know, morale is very high at the moment, and that does, I couldn't quantify it, but that does have some positive impact on a sales-driven business. So that's a good thing, and I see that continuing. Just on your point on new branches, we have actually opened two branches in the quarter, but that's insignificant in the results that we would report. But that's something to come in the future. I think the overall market is in pretty good shape as well. Actually, the car park is aging. Fuel prices are still relatively low. So miles driven, exchange rates as well. A weak sterling means that there's more staycationing going on in the UK, having to vacation homes in the UK. So there's some positive dynamics that drive the business as well.
And we secured the you know, the team, and that's one sign you always look for is if there's people that don't like the transaction, they go off and go elsewhere. We're not seeing any of that, right? I mean, you haven't seen any of that in
almost all.
Okay, thanks. And Eric, one last question, if I may. Would you be able to just explain the FX option transaction you entered?
Yes, we on June 1st, we bought an option for the equivalent of £70 million, $8 to pounds, and we bought an option for £138 million pounds from U.S. dollars to pounds. Those options are in place until the end of November, which is the date that the deal could ultimately close. We know now that the deal is expected to close in August, and therefore those options, you know, in one case the option is in the money, in the other case the option is out of the money, and when we're going to close the actual transaction, those options collapsed, you know, be borrowing accordingly.
Okay, so this is a caller?
No, it's a straight option. It's the right to buy a currency at a given price up to a certain point.
Okay, but there's two.
I have all the upside. Yeah, there. All we did is slice it in two, by the way, of how we structured the financing. So
okay,
I have all the upside if the currency move in our direction, and I'm protected against the downside if it goes the other way around.
In this case, it was a very good move for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
Okay, thanks for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Glenn. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you just talk, just to go back to the Canadian margins, the margin compression that we saw in the 1Q period, the year on the year on year basis, would you view that more of an anomaly then pertaining to that particular quarter, or is that how we should be looking at that then?
Are you talking about Q2 last year?
No, Q1, I think. Q1.
Yeah, so the Q1 was done.
As we said all along in Q1, we were not surprised by the margins. As we said, we were making investments. As Henry pointed out, there's a question of volume, and you know, there's a question of integration of the risk businesses that we bought. So was it on the low end? Yeah, it was on the low end. But you know, as I said, year to date, we're back to the margins, very similar margins that year to date we had last year.
Yeah.
And there is seasonality, as you know, in our business.
The first quarter is always a softer quarter for us in volume. Second quarter, third quarter, in Canada in particular, picks up. So that's, and then you couple that with making the investments in the quarter. So any one quarter can be somewhat different. But again, we've always alluded to the fact that, you know, with making all these investments, you know, even with the investments, we expect to be at the similar EBITDA rate we were last year. And we've always suggested, you know, once we get through the investments and start adding volume, then we expect their EBITDA margins to rise. And we've kind of, you know, as we've shared that with everybody, we're not giving guidance, but our expectations, you know, are sort of longer term, 8%, you know, that's where we're heading. So, you know, certainly that, and we're always working for more.
Okay, and then just on the organic growth, you talked about, I guess, the customer loss there that you identified at 1Q, that was similar magnitude impact in the 2Q period?
Absolutely, yeah.
And
you know,
so
that's just a customer loss. When we have them, I noted it because it was a little unusual. We don't lose them very often, and this was something that was reasonably conscious. So at the end of the day, and I've highlighted that with the investment community over the years, there are going to be some folks like that that are more competitors than they were customers. So it actually fits with our strategy extremely well, and that's why you'll see us open up greenfields in markets where we're not covered. So for us, we took that move forward in the first quarter, and we're carrying on today. And again, 6.2, that includes the total number. So we'd be, sort of 10% organic growth without that number, without that customer.
But clearly, if you're comping at 6.2 or 10x the customer loss, you're stealing market significant amount of market share from somebody else in the market. Is that a fair statement?
Stealing is such a violent word. I think we're earning, gaining market share in all parts. It is in one area. I think it didn't come from that one spot. In fact, that's not where. I think we got some gains certainly in that particular market, but we're equally gaining across the country, and we're gaining it in independent jobbers, which we love. I mean, we're doing a really good job. We're highly focused on servicing those folks. We're gaining it in the corporate stores, as I talked about the performance in terms of our bumper-to-bumper stores we're really pleased with. And then FinishMaster Canada is doing a great job. So, we couldn't be happier in all three of those segments. So I think, we're gaining share for sure, but it isn't kind of isolated to one specific segment or one specific geography in Canada.
Okay. And just in terms of FinishMaster, there's been a few news items regarding new private equity money coming into paint body equipment market. So in terms of what you're seeing on deal flow, have you seen any signs of increased competition on the FinishMaster deals?
That happened fairly recently, so not as yet. We cultivate our targets over a very long period of time. And there's going to be targets that are going to fit with us extremely well. And we're strategic, right? So it's a big, big difference between getting acquired by a private equity firm and getting acquired by a strategic. I think we just talked about that with Parts Alliance. I mean, Parts Alliance had that option as well in terms of going back into private equity. So there's going to be people that, could go either way, but we're head down focused on, our segment. So we can't buy everybody. So, that's not what we're after. So our pipeline right now is still very strong. We're focused on the tuck-ins that make sense to build out our geography and build density in those markets, and so far, no impact to us.
And then one thing that I'll throw in there is that we have been very rock solid on what we pay for these acquisitions, and we don't see that changing. We will not overpay for an acquisition, no matter what private equity decides to do in the market. So that still remains a steadfast principle for us.
Okay. And just overall, there's lots of discussion right now circulating on e-commerce. Can you give some thoughts on your view of the evolution of this trend in terms of your business model over the long term? Is it something that you believe could potentially have an impact at some point down the road?
Yes, I think anything is possible in the world. Just sit, put your head in the sand and say you're never going to have any impact from e-commerce would be silly. I think, where we are today is that, and I've highlighted it for obvious reasons, there's the constant people talking about Amazon threat, and it's having an impact on the prices, as in the U.S. automotive segment. But we are, all of our businesses, I mean, FinishMaster is probably 99%, commercial. We're 95 in the U.K., we're over 90 here, in terms of Canada. Our focus has always been that commercial segment. So our e-commerce initiatives all are designed around servicing those commercial customers in the way they want to be served both today and in tomorrow. So we've got a host of initiatives in the e-commerce arena that are designed around that. So today, we're as far advanced or more advanced than any of our competitors in that area. Certainly we're not sitting here planning to roll out drone delivery of auto parts and mufflers to our customers across Canada today. But, we're absolutely wide open and trying to innovate in terms of the things that we do on the e-commerce side to make sure we're not following. We may not be bleeding edge, but we're not going to follow.
Okay, and is there some areas of your business you might view as more risky in terms of penetration on e-commerce initially?
I mean, I think it goes back to the component of retail. Anytime you have a retail business and you have people that are what we call them weekend warriors that are out there fixing their cars on weekends because they have a choice, they don't need to fix it the same day, it's not sitting on a hoist, that's a segment that's going to be more susceptible to the e-commerce penetration market. Our business is highly driven by on hoist. That's why we have fleets of cars to make sure that we have the product to them in literally minutes, you know, within the hour, depending on where you are in the geographies, we're there frequently multiple times a day. And that is the business model. So I think, you know, the automotive segment has more. The paint's going to be even more challenging to penetrate in terms of the e-commerce, you know, view, if you will.
Okay, and then just last one. In terms of M&A, it sounds, I mean, I listening to you talk, I guess I get the impression that the most near-term opportunity is in the UK. Am I thinking about that right? And should we anticipate similar transaction multiples to Parts Alliance over there?
We haven't declared the Parts Alliance transaction multiple because we don't actually own it yet. So it's not like I can sit here and tell you what they're paying, but I think the multiples are reasonable, I would say, over there. I think we're excited about the opportunities at Parts Alliance, but that doesn't mean we've got a pipeline in both our current businesses. We've got a great pipeline in the U.S. We've got a great pipeline in Canada, and we've sort of communicated that on a consistent basis that we're going to make the right decisions in a very disciplined way, making sure we target specific areas and geographies we need to build out in the U.S. The same goes for Canada. And remember, we're not, we'll open up Greenfield, but we're not going to compete with our members. And that's why, we don't have a host of Greenfields opening up all the time. So there is a strategy in terms of and a pipeline for Canada specific to the members that are deciding to retire, our competitors, members that are deciding to retire. And we're building it out that way, not to add capacity to the market. And again, that's the balance that we have in Canada between making sure we support the independent driver customer member today and making sure that we continue to accelerate growth in the business and make sure our footprint overall is extended. So we're actually looking for more jobber customers across Canada. We're happy to acquire good ones and pay reasonable, fair multiples as we discussed in Canada.
Okay, and sorry, I just want to ask one more question. In terms of the industrial paint initiative, you talked about the inventory, needing the inventory. Do you have the floor space available in the current store footprint to add the product?
Not an issue, Michael. We have we have the space in the location. We have the space in the DCs. And if ever down the road in a few years we need more space in the DCs, well, that will be a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So, but I can tell you that I don't see that real estate need anytime soon just because of the industrial segment.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. The next question is from Benoit Poirier. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just to come back on the paint side, you were previously talking about the opportunity to convert eventually some body shop when we talk about the product line changeovers. But when you look at the impact, would it be fair to say that the conversion has not been high as expected earlier?
Anything under 100% is disappointing to me, but probably not realistic. So, I think we're, the conversion rate's already settled. So, for us, it's what we call the conversion rate settled. Now we're into to win back is what we call the program. So we continuously work on winning those back over time. When you do a product line conversion like this, if the body shop happens to be using that paint, it's sometimes hard to convert them immediately, because they're already using that paint, and the conversions have been harder and tougher to do. But equally, we've seen some win back where they weren't necessarily happy with the replacement service they were getting, and we were able to convert those customers. So that's an ongoing initiative for us. And I'm tried to, quite frankly, help the all of you guys figure it out in terms of the impact in the following quarter. So the balance of the year, 4.6, and then the 2% in the fourth quarter. Then we get into a lapping event, and we're strictly focused on organic growth.
Yeah, okay. And maybe one question for Eric. Could you talk a little bit about the working capital implication? We know it's moving on a seasonal basis, but for the full year, what type of number would you be looking at?
Yeah, no, we haven't given any directions on that, Benoit, but all I can say is that we do build up inventory in Q1, as you know, for the gaming business. There will be a new factor with the Parts Alliance addition to our overall portfolio. We always are focusing on optimizing the inventory and having the right product in the right place. So, do I expect a little bit more optimization on inventory over the foreseeable future? The answer is yes. But is it going to be material? I would not say that it would be material, but there will be some slight improvement on the two current businesses.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Buckley.
Great. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Thank you, everyone. I want to thank you for your continued support. Just know that we're staying highly focused on executing our initiatives and delivering results. And the initiatives we're talking about are both for building the foundation for the long-term growth of the company, as well as delivering our ongoing results. So thank you. Know that we're highly focused on those two things, and we look forward to speaking to you on our next call for the Q3 update. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.